Good morning and welcome on this kind of wet, icky day to First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We're the loving church with Jesus at heart. Welcome, visitors. And who do we have today, please, of visitors?
My name is Greg and this is Amy. Nice to meet you all.
Well, welcome. Welcome. There are visitor cards, welcome cards in front of you. Please fill in the card and place it in the offering plate. Prayer request cards are here as well. Excuse me. If you have a need, please let us know by completing the card and placing it in the offering plate. Today is carry-in. Please join us as we share this time of fellowship following the service. Today, you've been given a box like this, or it'll fold into a box like this. It's for Week of Compassion. It's a blessing box. It's explained in your bulletin, perhaps, or maybe this is inside of your bulletin. On Sunday, February 16, we'll be collecting these boxes. In the meantime, just put it somewhere at home, and as you experience blessings in your life, drop something in, and then your donation will be whatever's in here on February 16th. You bring it. These donations will be used by the Disciples of Christ Church Mission Fund to reach out to those in need around the world to help alleviate suffering all year long. Paul, I think you had an announcement today.
I was hoping that we could come up with a date for the 31st of this month for Forgetting Movie Night. And I know it's kind of a weird month, but think about it. Let me know no later than next week, because if I don't get a response by next week, I'm not going to have it. So hopefully I can get a response.
So that's January 31st, a spaghetti and movie night. Speak to Paul if you're able to be there or not. You know I and Jim will not be here. Yeah. That's okay. You'll have to do it without us. The Axe donation for January is peanut butter that goes on the shelf in the office. Please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements? Well, we're glad to see Jean back up in the choir. Thank you. And, of course, we're glad to see Miss Eliza here. Please stand, if you could, for the call to worship, which is in your bulletin. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ who gives God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be a light for others.
Blessings, honor, and glory to God today and forever.
Amen. Let us remain standing if we could and open to hymn number 261, 261, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
Spirit, in this place, and I know it is a spirit. Thank you. You may be seated. Yeah, the first test of being a visitor is finding the hymn book. I'm sorry about that. They're under the seat. So, okay, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the ability to come and worship you this day. We thank you for each person here and for our safe travel to this house of worship. We also pray for our members who are not with us today because of weather and because of other reasons, that they may worship you at home and be in our hearts and in our minds as we worship as a congregation. Be with us today as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Help us to be mindful of our own baptism. Help us as we begin this worship, praying as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship by remaining seated and sing hymn number 115, There's Something About That Name. I love that song. That's a pretty song. Okay, we come now to our time of sharing our joys and our concerns. Before I read the cards, if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, we have our ongoing prayer request and our current prayer request. Also, about 1 o'clock this morning, I got a text from Charlotte. Her lights were out and she couldn't sleep, but she remembered that she wanted to have prayer for her friend Wes Bomber and his wife Nancy. And so Wes had to have unexpected quadruple bypass and a valve replacement, but she said he is expected to be okay, but she definitely wanted us to pray for them. On our card, we have the family of Mary Corey. Is that Curry? Is that Lisa's friend? Is that?
No, that is Elsie's son. But it's my son-in-law's sister.
Oh, okay.
She lives in Virginia.
Okay. Mary Curry. And then Sally Clayton, who is, if you've got my calling tree, she has moved to University Hospital, and then we'll be moving from university into a nursing home for rehab and then into a nursing home for living. And then Carol Kettle. All right, are there other concerns or joys? Yes. Yeah. Luann Lewis, is that what you said?
Lewis.
Okay. All right. And And I have some joys. There was a great attendance at the breakfast yesterday, and at the if you notice, the decorations are gone. That didn't just happen like that. It happened with lots of little worker bees in here helping. And so another joy is the delicious breakfast that Buzzy cooked for everyone, and also the joy of the people that came for the deacon training and for the deacon and elder meeting. So another joy, as already mentioned, is having Jean back in the choir. So are there other concerns or joys? Okay. I had to smile watching the candles. No offense, Laura. I mean, Paula, but Joey sometimes thinks he doesn't make a difference, and I thought, well, he does make a little difference, doesn't he? So, but anyway, let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here and to worship you in freedom, to worship you by choice, and to worship you among people who worship you the way similar to we do. Dear God, we thank you again for the joy of a church at work yesterday morning, for the joy of people sharing to make the sanctuary a beautiful place of worship. Thank you for the work that was done and for all those who came and helped. We also thank you for the training that Caroline and Francis provided for the deacons and for the deacons who came to learn how to serve you and serve this church better. We give you thanks for the deacons and for their commitment to you and to the work of this church. Dear God, we also pray for Wes Balmer and his wife, Nancy. We pray for Sally and the transition that she is going through, both personally and for her family and for those who love and care for her. Dear God, we pray for Chuck and for Ida. Pray for Curtis and Shelvia. We pray for Hal and Marge. Pray for Demoris and Wanda and Linda. Pray for Eliza and her continued healing. We give you thanks that she is with us worshiping today. Dear God, we pray for all the communities that have been impacted by the storms of this weekend, those experiencing loss of life, loss of home, loss of income, and a loss of normalcy. Pray for them as they continue during their time of recovery and rebuilding. Pray that they will not lose hope and that they will see your hand in their recovery. Dear God, we pray for our congregation as we embark on a new calendar year. We thank you for being a congregation. We pray for our mission and help us to be who you want us to be at this little corner in Aiken, South Carolina. Also pray as we take care of one another and in our own spiritual development, in our nurture. We pray for our regional church as we continue to search for a regional minister. We pray for the Push to Purpose team as they gather this Saturday to continue to do the work of unifying our region into one church. We pray for our nation and our world. There's so much pain and angst and uncertainty. We pray for the leaders of the world that make the decisions that impact the safety and the life of so many people. Give them wisdom, give them courage, and give them a foresight into the future so that they will know the best way to lead. Dear God, we pray as we worship you today that the remembrance of your baptism will help each of us to remember our own and help us to remember and renew our commitment to you. Be with us as a church as we meet after this for fellowship of carry-in. Thank you for the food that has been brought and prepared to be shared. Thank you for the sharing that will take place. And bless us as we move church from this room into that room and continue to worship you through our communion one with another. Be with us now and forgive us where we fail you, where we fail each other, and where we fail ourselves. Hear our prayer, O Lord. the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, we have two sacraments, things that we hold sacred and things that worship guides us toward and worship guides us from. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, or as we call it, communion. Today, in a very special way, we celebrate both of them, as today is known as the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Today, we and other Christian churches all around reflect through scripture and reflection on Christ's baptism and what his baptism means for each of us and means for us as a church. We gather today as baptized believers, and it's time for us to reflect on our own baptism, not only when that happened, but how it impacts our lives today and as we live it. It also leads us now to the table, this table of welcome and inclusion, of renewal and of forgiveness, the table of the Lord. Our worship hymn is hymn number 386, We Come as Guests Invited, and all are invited to partake in communion. Please stand if you're able for the singing of our hymn. You may be seated. We are invited to this table, and we're all invited as guests and as members. And for our visitors, we give out the elements, and then we all eat and drink them together. We're reminded that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, he was with his disciples eating, and he took a loaf of bread, and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now the prayer for our bread.
O Heavenly Father, as we take this bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for us, let us rejoice and be glad that Christ gave his life for us and that you are with us every day. May we walk the path that you want us to walk and guide us through this life's journey. Please be with us always. In Christ we pray. Amen.
the body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Hear now our prayer for the cup.
For the cup. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that have been given to us and the everlasting life that Jesus provided for us for the breaking of his body and the spilling of his blood. As we take this symbol, let us always remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us now worship through our giving. Gracious God, we offer these gifts to you. Ask your blessing on them, on the giver, and on our use of them as we be your people here in this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand and join in the singing of the doxology if you're able. You may be seated.
Thank you.
If you have your pew Bibles, if you could take them out to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, San, and thank you, choir. That rocked. That was awesome. I was ready to get up and dance. Preaching is a vulnerable task. There are times when the scripture moves me and I'm thinking, I don't know why I'm preaching this. And then somebody will come up after church and say, I need that was for me. I needed that. And other times I work on the sermon, and when it's over, I think, oh, thank you, Lord, I needed that. So I have to confess as I begin this sermon that this sermon, I hope you get something out of it, but I already have. And it's been what I needed. So I hope that it helps you as well. But today we study the baptism of the Lord. And when I read the text that San just read, I thought about my own baptism. And I thought about the role of baptism in our denomination. And my understanding of baptism as a person and as a pastor is that baptism symbolizes our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer. It's a time when we confess our sinfulness and we claim our dependence on Christ, and we also claim our commitment to follow Him as his disciple. It's not a one and done type experience where you're baptized and you just put that away, but it's like a rebirth where it starts your new life. And your life in faith is just like our life outside of faith. There's ups and downs. We go through valleys and we go through peaks, but we are in that journey and our baptism begins that. But the more I thought about my own baptism, and baptism in general, Jesus' baptism made less and less sense to me. I mean, Jesus was human, we're taught that, but he was also divine, and he was the Christ that we get baptized to follow. He also had no sin. And the baptisms that were going on that John the Baptist was doing were baptisms of conversion. They were moving people into this new way of what was coming. But why was Jesus baptized? He wasn't a sinner. He didn't have to follow Christ because he was Christ. And yet all four Gospels tell us about the baptism of Jesus. And they all tell us that he was baptized by his cousin John. John the Baptist. Or John the Baptizer. And each gospel writer is writing to a different audience. They're wanting to convert or help a particular group of people learn the best they can about Jesus. So each gospel tells a little bit different detail, but all of them talk about the baptism, that John did it, and all of them name that the Spirit of God came down after the baptism, either in the form of a dove or in the heavens opening up and God speaking that this is my Son in whom I am pleased. I invite you, as you do your Bible study this week, to read the four different accounts of the baptism and let these scriptures, each one, speak to you. But this year, our lectionary reading calls for us to use the Matthew version, which Sam just read. And in the Matthew version, we focus a little bit more on John, on John's response, which was in some ways the same response I had, like, why are you coming here? Matthew was writing his gospel to reach a particular group in the early church that really had spun off and were John followers rather than Jesus followers. They knew Jesus was important, but they had John a little bit more important. And so Matthew was trying to tell them that John was the forerunner, that John was leading people to Christ, and that John recognized when Jesus came to him, "Why do you want me to baptize you? I should be asking you." But Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And for whatever reason, that answer was enough for John, and John did the baptism. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Those words made me even more curious. Like, I realized that even though I studied trusted theologians, and believe me, there's a bunch of stuff about why was Jesus baptized, and they usually come up with about three key answers, but I won't go into those right now because I don't want to get off track. But as disciples of Christ, each one of us and each of you, me, all of you, we have the responsibility and the right to be theologians too. We don't have to only go and listen to what the theologians say. It's a great place to start, but we don't have to stop there. So I decided what God was speaking to me about this week was Jesus was baptized out of obedience. That he was baptized to obey something larger than what he would have designed himself. Now, obedience is not a word that's in my vocabulary very often. I am raising a teenager, and I am trying very hard to help him learn to obey. The fact that he's not here today shows you that I am failing. But I'm working on it, and this sermon has touched me deeply in that area. But the aha moment came for me when I realized that if Jesus was baptized, one of the reasons to model for me obedience to something larger than himself, to fit into a bigger story where his submission to something else was more important than what he might have decided for himself. What about obedience for me? And what about obedience for us as a congregation? So y'all know me long enough to know that if I study a word, the first place I'm going is the dictionary. So obedience says compliance with an order, a request, or a law, or submission of another's authority. Jesus was sent to earth for a reason. Jesus was here on a mission. And in order to fulfill that mission, he had to be obedient to a larger plan. I don't think God sent him to earth and said, "Just do it your way. I'll figure it out." There was a plan in place, and Christ, as human as he was divine enough to also know he had to fit that plan. And at first, as I thought about this, I thought obedience to a baptism was probably a lot easier for Jesus than later on obedience to death on the cross. But then I wondered about that too, because you know, sometimes what looks simple is not simple at all. I would love, and maybe when I get to heaven, I can ask Jesus, "Tell me about your baptism. Why did you do that? And what was that like for you to go to John and ask him to do that?" Jesus' baptism, like ours, because we have believers' baptism, took initiative on Jesus' part. He had to go present himself for baptism. He had to go, think about this for a minute, he had to go present himself to the very one who was preparing the way for him to be there. He had to ask for help, is what I'm trying to say. And I'll tell you what, asking for help is not my strong suit. And I know some of you well enough to know it's not your strong suit either. If I had been Jesus and knew I had to be baptized, I might have tried to baptize myself because I'd have got it done. But that wasn't the plan. The plan was for Jesus to first submit himself to John and say, help me. I need you to do this for me. Those are not easy words for us to go to someone and say, I need your help. So in Jesus' baptism, he models for us not just obedience, but the steps that it takes to be obedient. That first, maybe all the time, I don't know, I hadn't had time to think about it all the way out, but many, many, many times, our being obedient means we need other people with us. We were not created to live alone. It tells us that throughout the whole Bible. And we are here as a congregation because we need each other in our faith walk. Now, all of us know about obedience. We obey laws. And, you know, I drive a lot of times back and forth on I-20 from here to Columbia and back. And I'm learning a lot about obedience and driving. And when I started driving, I was obedient to that little sign that says speed limit 70 miles per hour. So I set my cruise control to 70 miles an hour, and I would drive back and forth. But as I was doing that, people were passing me like I was standing still. So I upped it to 72. I didn't get a ticket. People were still passing me, so I upped it to 73. I have now upped it for the last month to 75. I have not yet had a ticket. People are still passing me by way too fast. I won't move mine over 75. But what happened is instead of me being obedient to the law, I became obedient to common practice. I became obedient to what others around me were doing, not what I'm supposed to do. Obedience in our faith, what might God be pointing us to as individuals and as a congregation that we need to be doing now? It says now. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Where is our obedience to God leading us to make a change right now, to do something different now? I love hymns as much as I love the dictionary. So if I pass the dictionary, I end up usually in the hymn book. And I got to thinking about this song that I grew up singing in Sunday school called Trust and Obey. And it starts out with the words, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. And that tells me that an important part of obedience to the law of Christ and to the law of God starts and ends and lives in the Word. We can't figure this out without the Bible. Reading the Bible, studying our Bible, letting it confuse us, letting us ask questions like, why would Jesus be baptized? Letting us guide us, letting it prick us, and then letting it comfort us. The song that I love, Trust and Obey, also puts trust and obedience together. It's not blind obedience. It's obedience that is grounded in trust of something larger. That's why Jesus was baptized. He trusted the plan. This hymn was inspired in 1886 when the composer of the music named Daniel Towner, he was a music leader during one of Dwight Moody's famous revivals. And Towner provided this account of how this hymn came into being. He said, Mr. Moody was conducting a series of meetings in Brockton, Massachusetts, and I had the pleasure of singing for him there. One night, he was asking people to give testimony of how were they sure about their new salvation, and a young man stood up and said, I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. He said, I jotted that sentence down, and I sent it with the story to the Reverend J.H. Sammis, who was a Presbyterian minister, and he wrote the tune. And the hymn was, he wrote the words. And Sammis was said to have, when he got the letter, he turned right around and took Trust and Obey and wrote the refrain, which is, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. He then sent the words back to Mr. Towner, who wrote the hymn, the music, and so we have it, and we have it in our hymnal, and it's such a wonderful close to this sermon that I called Natalie and asked her if we could change our invitation hymn, because I was going to read you the words to it, and I thought, why read you something that you could sing and put in your soul yourself? So if God is calling you in obedience in an area in your life that you've struggled with, or if God is calling you in obedience in a new way, like Jesus was embarking on his brand new ministry, whatever God is calling in you that needs a now answer, I invite you to trust and obey. I also invite you to join me in singing hymn number 556. It will serve both as the close of this sermon and also as our invitation hymn. Hymn number 556, and because of the beauty of the song and because of the power of the words and because we have plenty of time, we're going to sing all four stanzas. So it will also function as an invitational hymn, so I will be at the front. But if you're able to stand and sing 556, if not, please sing as you're seated. Trust and obey.
In the light of his word.
thank you for closing out the sermon with me. I needed y'all to do that. And everyone is invited to carry in, so we really don't even need that back door. So we're hoping everybody will come to carry in. If you can't stay, come get you some food and take it to your who's keeping you from staying. And thank you again to everyone who brought food. So I'm going to say our blessing and our benediction. Dear God, we thank you again for the food that's been prepared, for all who prepared it as love gifts to each other and to you. Be with us as we eat and as we fellowship, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we leave this place, help us remember to trust you and to leave here in obedience. Amen. Amen. Our going forth song is hymn number 354, Seek Ye First.